a nice shot from Schuttendorf off Cohen. He picks up his first boundary in first-class cricket.
Will Brett Hutton be the hero? He's going to bowl to Saqib Mahmood. Up on the leg side, not to celebrate it, and he's out! He's gone!
This is the talk of Trent Bridge.
I'm Matt Freeman, and I'm joined today by a rising star behind the stumps and a key member of a potent Nottinghamshire attack in 2021. Brett Hutton and Dane Schadendorf pay a visit to the home dressing room, with Brett looking back at a famous Red Bull win over Lancashire.
That's the best win I've ever been a part of, just in terms of how rewarding it is from the amount of work going into a game. That was a proper joust for 4 days, and we just pipped it at the end.
Dane recalls an unusual first-class debut after replacing the England-bound Ben Duckett mid-game.
So I woke up, and I remember I just looked at my phone, kind of, and then there was a message from Mick saying, call me right now. It's like...
Not a message you want to see. Where's your mind at that point?
That's not good, is it?
And Brett shares the secrets of county championship success.
That is part of why we were successful, and I think that's why we will hopefully be successful again, is just that drive, that desire, and just that something about enjoying each other's company, which then makes us enjoy the cricket.
But first, Dane discussed his current pre-season focus.
Yeah, I was working with Frankie, and I was using the, there's like a half bat, and... Yeah. Barely hitting it with that, so missed most of them. No, I'm joking. Yeah, it went pretty well. And then I did like a white ball session with Rooster and Shiny. And Shiny was bowling rockets, so as he always does. Short and at your head, which is always fun.
Well, I suppose you got to prep for those sorts of things.
Yeah, exactly.
What sort of things do you look at focusing on at this point? Because it feels, you know, today when it's freezing in the home dressing room, like April's a long way away, but what kind of things are you looking to kind of work on at the minute?
Sort of just things that you found, like, in the first block before Christmas. Like, I found my trigger, which is working very well, and it's just sort of refining and making those things perfect, like, for when the season comes, and just making sure it's, like, a natural thing, so you don't have to think about it or anything, yeah.
And Brett, you were in crack of dawn this morning as well. How's the winter been going so far for you after quite a busy summer? A lot of overs through the body through the summer.
Yeah, it's good. We've got a good system going here, I think. You know, with Morsy leading it when he was here, and you know, Franksy now. You know, it's been the same pretty much. There's not been a change in what's going on, but it's very much player led. We get, you know, we have our meetings, we have our chats, we see Cunny the analyst and look at all our different stats, and everything we do is pretty much driven by individual things. You know, we're all together as a team doing certain things, obviously. But, you know, like Dane's in today working on his sort of things. I was in, it's all individual. I was doing something completely different. It's not a... It's really good, you know. We get exactly what we want out of it. We all do very different things. We haven't got... Everyone does different fitness. Everyone does different strength programs. Everyone does different batting things. And that's what works for us because we're all different.
Is that something that you've seen change? Would it have been different to that 4 or 5 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, we're past that. You know, there would have been a time when indoor nets, yeah, were a bit tedious because you'd be a group of six in the indoor school and you'd have three bowling machines set up and you'd do right arm, then you'd do left arm, and then you'd do short ball or something, and you'd all do exactly the same things, and you've got people at different stages of development and talent and other things, and... Yeah, whereas now it's all, you know, if there's a part of your game that doesn't need much brushing up on, and you can have 5 minutes at it here and there, and you can really focus on weaknesses, aren't the right word, but areas that where you're going to see the biggest gain.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the beauty of the way we've got the programme set up. Whatever is going to make the biggest impact to our cricket, there's a lot of, you know, brain power going on behind the scenes with the coaches having lots of meetings and talking about things, including us players being involved in these chats, analysts, physios, S&Cs, everyone's involved figuring out what is going to make Dane a better keeper and a better batter and what's going to make me a better bowler and a better batter and a better field. Everything's so individualised that it impacts the team better because we're all doing what we need to be doing.
Well, we'll talk a bit more about pre-season as we go through this morning, but we want to take a look back at a few of the things from the summer as well, because some very special moments on the field out here and across the country over the last 6 months or so. So we've got a couple of clips of moments you were both on the field for, I think, each of these at least, over the last summer. So firstly, I want to see if you can work out which clips these are. What is Mr. Dave Bracegirdle describing on Trent Bridge Live in these moments? So we've got the first one here.
318 for eight. Bowled him! Straight through the defences. Knots needed that. It's not the winning moment yet, but they've got a little closer. And Tom Bailey is bowled by an absolute peach of a delivery.
He's lanks here.
The last bit's a giveaway. Yeah. In them, isn't it? Yeah, that's Dane Patterson getting
it. Yeah, I was going to guess that.
Yeah, in that game, which you were part of, Brett. I mean,
yeah.
That afternoon, there was just before the Bailey wicket, there was quite a period where lanks were eight down and it took a while to get the ninth. What was the mood like on the field in that hour or hour and a half or however long it was?
We were all really good, actually. You know, we were all tired by that point. We were. It was a hot. It was hot week as well, wasn't it?
It was boiling, wasn't it?
It was a really hot 4 days of great weather, a lot of hard cricket, and we were starting to flag a bit.
Yeah.
You know, as you would expect, we'd bowled. You know, we toiled quite hard to get there, but we always had that, you know, belief that we were going to win. You know, there was still the eight down. Bailey was batting well, and Lamb was batting well, but it's two balls when. Yeah. And the way that our season was going, how much we'd backed ourselves, it was always doable. It's just, you know, it would have been, yeah, we were tired, as you could tell, by as soon as the game finished, everyone was, you know, we all sat down on the outfield, had a beer, and, you know, once everyone sat down, that was pretty much it, I think.
Yeah.
But no, it was an unbelievable feeling, just the atmosphere of how much energy there was and how much buzz when everyone was dead on the feet, really.
Yeah.
Is that confidence that the wicket will come something that was easier to come by because you've been on that run, because you've beaten those teams through the last few months?
I think so. I mean, I think that would have been the same at any moment in the season once we'd got over that hurdle. You know, as soon as we'd got past that, and we'd realised how to win again, then I don't think it mattered that we were on a nice patch and a nice run. I think we would have always had that belief as a bowling unit, especially, you know, we always believed we'd get the wickets and we could do the job. And the batters, on the flip side, if that was the other way around, would have believed that they'd have chased the runs down or whatever. So I think confidence has never been an issue, and I don't think is an issue for us. It's just that you've just got to get over that hurdle, and then once you've done it, it becomes easier, I think.
Yeah, and it was you that took the winning wicket in that game as well. What was that moment like? The celebrations looked pretty full on.
I think that just shows and sums up, you know, Morsy uses it a lot. We've got that picture around, you know, when you see the thing, you know, it sort of shows me running off and there's a few lads in the picture there. But when you see the full footage that you lads have got with the whole team, you know, the emotion on everyone's face, just showing how up for it and how in the sort of in that bit of the game everyone was, the whole team was just, you know, pretty sure that boats climbed straight off the roof down because by the time that we were all, before we'd even sort of got all into a huddle, boats was on the field, the coaches were all, you know, everyone was living that with us. And yeah, it was just unbelievable.
Goosebumps every time.
Yeah.
It was, you know, you don't get many, you know, I've been playing for a while now and that's the best win I've ever been a part of, just in terms of how rewarding it is from the amount of work going into a game. You know, that was one of the hardest games of cricket I've played, where, you know, we've obviously been beaten and I've won games of cricket, but that was a proper joust for 4 days and we just pipped it at the end.
Yeah. Where were you for that game, Dane? Were you, I can't remember if there was another game on anywhere else, or if you were here as that kind of last day unfolded?
I think I watched the beginning of the last day, but I wasn't here when Brett or Dane took the last wicket. I was watching, I remember I saw Dane's wicket on the live, and then I was like, well, I knew it was coming, the last wicket, obviously. And then I think I went away to get something, because it wasn't a wicket for a few overs. And then suddenly, from the other room, so I ran, I was like, what? Yeah, so I tried to see what happened, and obviously, yeah, it's a great feeling, isn't it? Especially for these lads, just to see them win. It's just surreal. And because we're such a tight group, I think it means a lot to everyone.
Yeah.
Not just the lads who are playing. It means a lot to the whole squad. So, yeah.
Let's take a listen to the second clip from the summer just gone.
Last ball of this over. Another youngster bowls and he's gone. Wondered if it had brushed the pad. It's gone through to Schadendorf, who celebrated the catch. The umpire raised the finger, so a wicket has gone right on the stroke of
tee. Slitch goes five. Inside edge through the pad. No?
Joey was bowling.
Oh,
for that
wow.
Hole. Yeah.
It's one of you. You got about 12 catches, didn't you, that game? It's hard to remember.
Wasn't a bad start, was it?
How many did you get?
Four.
In one innings.
Yeah. It's not too bad, yeah.
And I know you've no doubt spoke about this a million times before, but what a weird way to make your debut. I mean, how did that morning unfold?
So it all started, so I woke up. I remember I didn't, because obviously I was living right at Lady Bay there, yeah. So I didn't really have to wake up pretty early. So I woke up and I remember I just looked at my phone kind of, and then there was a message from Mick saying, call me right now. It's like...
Not a message you want to okay. see. Where's your mind at that point?
That's not good, is it? So I called him and he pretty much told me that I had to come and play up here because Ducky was going to go play for England. So I don't really think of much. I just thought, like, I have to get up here as quickly as possible. So I ran down to Lady Bay, got my bag and walked up to Trimbridge because I didn't have a car or anything up there. So, and then I tried not to think of anything on the way up. And then, that's about it, really. And then once I was around the lads, it was pretty much normal. And then, obviously, I got closer and closer to when I was going in. Yeah. And my heart started beating. But, yeah, once it all started and I faced the first balls, it was fine.
I think it helps. I mean, I was talking to Sammy King on here a couple of weeks ago because his debut came as a concussion sub, so it came a little bit kind of unexpected as well. Does that kind of almost throwing you in help you because you don't have time to think about what's happening?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you guys normally select, the team is normally selected the day before, so you have the night to like think about it. And obviously I've never been like... near the squad, so I don't listen to that type of stuff. But if I had like a night to think about what I was going to do out there, how I was going to bat, I don't know how that would have gone. So I think how I got told in the morning was a lot better for me, certainly.
Yeah, and a decent game as well, some runs, and then that last afternoon when after that wicket, just before Tia Critchley, it all just, five wickets in quick succession, it all wrapped itself up pretty quickly, didn't it? What was it like to be a part of?
Oh, keeping when these guys are bowling is just a blessing, I think. The way it looks when it comes out there, like the hand, like Fletcher's hand, Ledge, Dane Patterson, it just looks like they're going to nick it every time. So I think, especially playing at Trent Bridge where it does a little bit, Lady Bay, it's just like, oh, right, I'm sitting here for a while. So just to be like a part of the excitement, especially with like all the senior lads, Mull and everyone in the slips, it was a lovely experience.
Is there a kind of bowler-keeper relationship you have to work on while you're out there as well?
Well, there was a time I think I came on 12th man. I think it was pretty late in the season. I kept on throwing it at Ledge's feet and he was about to kill me then. So I think there is, but me and Ledge and all the lads get on pretty well. So, yeah.
I think keepers, that relationship tends to be more strained if we're making him do more work than he needs to be. Sort of when we keep bowling it down the leg side and he's diving and things like that. I think the biggest fallout is always when, you know, if it doesn't carry to the keeper or something, then you fall out. But, like I say, the fact that you're part of the group and things, it was... it's easy and you could say what you need to say as a keeper and people will still take it.
Yeah, because that could take some confidence, couldn't it? Because you're keeping to people, you know, Fletcher's been around for years and years as a top bowler, you've got Brett who's done the same, Dane Patterson International, that you've got to be on a level with at least.
Yeah, it's quite weird, especially like, because they're obviously like quite a bit older than me as well, like I don't want to say something and they're like, oh, that was a bit off. It is a bit like nerve-wracking, like obviously speaking in front of all of these experienced guys, but the way they like treat everyone, it's like all the squads pretty much equal, even though you're not, but they treat everyone as equals, so it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, I was looking back actually at when your debut would have been first class cricket. It was the Champion County match, wasn't it, over in Abu Dhabi or Dubai or whatever, which must be quite an unusual place to make your first class bow.
Yeah, that was a strange one. It's similar to Danes, actually. Not quite the same, but I mean, I was 18. I was still in the academy, I think. Yeah. And I was getting ready to go on the academy trip. And then we had a few injuries. So I went, Nooney rang me up, right, oh, you're coming to Abu Dhabi, you're not going to Poon. I was like, all right. You know, as you're doing, sort of. And then it was the same sort of thing. I had no idea I was playing or anything like that. And then I think it was Shrekky. I don't think Shrekky was fit to play or just didn't want to play. Could have been either. So I had no idea I was playing. And then I just got the old in you go.
Yeah.
We didn't play very well.
You're bowling at the likes of, I mean, the name that stuck out when I was looking at the MCC team was you got Rahul Dravid playing for the MCC. I mean, that's a...
They had a decent team out. Yeah. Fletch smashed him on the shin, I think, in the first, very early on in the first innings.
Of course it did.
But yeah, it was a bit same sort of thing. Didn't have that time to properly get my head around it because at no point did I think I was just there to make the numbers up and bowl in the nets as far as I was concerned. And then, what would that be, 2011?
It was, wasn't it? Start 2011, yeah. I didn't really want to dwell on the year exactly. It's not.
Yeah. It's not one to.
It's a long time ago.
To keep in mind, is it? But
But in terms of the season just gone, it was a return back after 3-4 years away. Was that a fairly seamless transition back into Notts life?
Yeah. No, it was good. It was 3 years away and then back in, and it was nice. I mean, I think the playing staff had changed a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, there's a few changes there than what there was, but there's still a few obviously similar people around. So that wasn't too big a thing. And the way that the sort of atmosphere in the group had changed slightly as well to that sort of more equal level playing field, everyone, that team you feel was big.
Yeah. Sort of was that a change
that was a nice
before?
Noticeable, yeah, just that sort of evolution of things like that, coaching staff were the same. So it wasn't too difficult. From that sense, yeah, it was nice to get back in, and obviously it's always nice to play here with, you know, the view out that window. It's, you know, it's hard to not enjoy playing here, but yeah, it was a much easier transition coming back than I think it was going from sort of academy to pro, and that way it was like Dane's touched on it, the way that we've got the squad and the coaching staff at the minute, the support staff and just the whole club in general, everyone. You know, everyone's equal, you know, so it makes it a lot easier. You can say whatever you want to say, and people will listen.
Yeah.
You know, people, we're allowed to disagree with each other, which is, you know, that's life. People don't always agree, but you can say what you want to say. So, you know, that normal bit where, you know, in teams that in the past and, you know, in sport and life in general, little things tend to eat at people, don't they, and don't get said, and then there's an explosion. I don't think we've got that. I think we just clear the air so often. Everyone just, if something, everything's just sort of, anyone's got an opinion, if we're not happy with what we're doing, everything gets said, everything's taken on board, and then, you know, we never get to that breaking point, and that's part of why the squad feels a good place to be.
Is that something that you notice as well as someone at the start of your career coming in there? Would you feel that dressing room has that inclusiveness?
Yeah, definitely. Certainly, like, different from all, like, the other teams I've been a part of in the past. It's all sort of been, you know, there's always senior guys and they always get the say, and all the junior guys, you just carry on with your business, really. But, like, it was very weird to come here and, like, the coach says, so what do you want to do today? I'm choosing, am I? All right. But as you get used to it, it's so good, like, you get to improve on what you want to instead of, like, a coach telling you this is what you're going to do today. But I am still young, so they can, like, sort of push you in a direction that they think you can improve, which is always good, like, because Morsi, Franksy and all the coaching staff are brilliant, so whatever they say, well, I trust them completely. So, it's really nice to be around this bunch of lads.
Yeah. And having been part of plenty of successful dressing rooms, I was looking back, obviously there's promotion in 17 here, there's promotion in 19 away at Northants, last year winning all those games out here as well. Is there something that is in common with that? Is there a time when you think, you know, you're in a winning dressing room, a winning squad, if you like?
I think the atmosphere around the team, yeah, definitely is a big part of that. You know, I think that even my time at Northants when we got promoted, there was always 2018 we didn't do great, and then 19 there was just something in the way that the boys, how we all were, and that was a better year, and that's why, yeah, in 17 we had a great feeling with, you know, Brodie played quite a bit. We had, you know, Jimmy Pat was here, you know, there was just an unbelievable feeling around the group of, it was just sort of, we turn up for a Champo game and everyone was just, you know, cricket's quite a long thing, and as much as we all, you know, it's our job and we all do love playing the game, it does get a bit tedious sometimes when you're sort of in the middle of the season and there's not much happening. But that 2017, there was none of that feeling of, oh, another day, or fielding, or, you know, everyone was up for it, and that's why we got promoted. And that was, you know, last year it was that feeling. There was no, you know, we were still doing the last day of the season here against Yorkshire. We were batting, and we still did, you know, we'd finished bowling for the game. We still did everything. Everyone still got out. We still had our warm-up, did the fielding. You know, that atmosphere of how nothing's, you know, we all, just that feeling that we're going to do what we do,
yeah,
irrelevant of what day it is, how we feel, how tired we are, stiff bodies, sore bodies,
yeah,
you know, and that atmosphere in the dressing room is key. And like I say, I think that is part of why we were successful, and I think that's why we will hopefully be successful again, is just that drive, that desire, and just that something about enjoying each other's company, which, yeah, then makes us enjoy the cricket.
Because I suppose that must have been a bit mind over matter at times of the summer, because there were some long games, plenty of overs to go through, and it got a bit back to back as well, especially in that last month or two, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of that, but again, you know, you've got all your lads helping drive you forward. They're, yeah, giving you as much as they can. You know, you've got someone like Hass. You know, I've never seen him look tired in his life, and he will always. When you're, you know, when bowlers, we get a bit more fatigued during the day as the day goes on, and, you know, that pat on the back and a bit of energy from them when they, you know, when there's a ball that gets thrown to you and just, you know, you miss it and it rolls off towards the boundary and one of the lads sprints after it and gets it for you, and just, you know, that feeling of a dressing room of everyone's helping each other out because we're in it together. You know, if me and Fletch are getting sore and getting tired, and a bit of that, you know, all the lads will come and do their best to help out, because we all, you know, we can't have anybody dropping off, and that's, yeah, so everyone does that, and it does get tough,
yeah,
you know, and you see that with every team around the country, that especially the seamers towards the back end of the year when those overs start cranking up, there's either injuries or boys just look tired, but, you know, that's where the rest of the lads pick up the slack for us, because they're just a good bunch.
Yeah, yeah. And for you, Dana, running the Royal London Cup midsummer as well, to have that, yeah, run of first team games, which seemed to be almost every day you were somewhere, yeah, playing a Royal London Cup game for a spell. As your first year at Notts and in this dressing room, how big a thing was that to play those games day in, day out?
That was huge. Like playing in front of, well, probably the biggest crowds I've played in front of, even though we were playing at like outgrounds and stuff. I don't know what the crowds were, like 2,000 maybe?
2000 probably,
yeah. It was like, and the atmosphere wasn't like, it felt almost the same. Like, obviously I haven't really played at Trent Bridge with a huge crowd in, but it felt like there were a lot of people watching you, with, yeah, which brings a little bit of pressure. And, yeah, I think myself and I think the lads love that. Yeah, to play some first team games and to just get the experience of like playing against like some first team lads that didn't get picked in like in the 100, well, it was very good. Yeah, and I loved every second. I made some mistakes, and hopefully if I play this year, I'll make a bit less. So yeah, it was good.
It's always different at an outground, isn't it? The crowd are very much there, almost on the field with you. You can probably like hear every individual conversation pretty much out there.
Yeah, especially at Guildford, where, yeah, you were sat on, if you're on the boundary, you were sat in the front row with them. You sort of, yeah, moving chairs back, and, you know, Welbeck isn't too bad. And sort of when we do it right. We, you know, we get that line round and say stay behind there. But it's always the worst bit is always the warm up when we're doing, yeah, fielding practice in the warm up. Because when the game starts, they sort of sit around there, but you've got someone like Franksy, or not Franksy, but like Boats and Shiny belting it at you from there, and you're catching it, trying to practice obviously near the rope, and they're just walking round and like drinking their
right
tups of coffee, stood right behind you, and you're thinking. But no, during the game, it's not too bad.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned the pressure, because it is a different responsibility, I guess, to playing a twos game, that you are playing first team cricket for Notts, and yeah, there's people watching both there and on the stream. And is that something you're aware of, I suppose?
Definitely. You just kind of hope that it won't make a difference to how you like approach it or how you play. Like the way I approach a second team game is absolutely the same to the first team game. Still do all my warm-up, try my hardest, make sure I can be as like prepared for the game as I can be. And yeah, just because you're on the stream or there's a lot of people watching shouldn't really make a difference, but it does. Yeah, and you just hope all the hard work will pay off and you don't embarrass yourself in front of a lot of people. So, yeah.
And in terms of the hard work this winter as well, we got a bit of footage earlier this winter of you, Brett, up at the Vicon Place at Loughborough, yeah, which I was fascinated by, and I spoke to Shani about it and could have already spoken to him for 5 hours on what he was talking about there. It's something I'd never seen in action before, but that kind of science meeting cricket thing, how does that help you and what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, like you say, that when you do it and you take part, you've got to trust, again, they're experts in what they're doing. You know, they know cricket pretty well, but that's where you need your Shiny there as well, who knows bowling and things to sort of take and nitpick all the data that they give us, because they're going to be looking at everything from the way we run on the way in and everything to do with injury prevention, biomechanically, if there's anything that they see that might be able to give a big benefit in some, you know, or, but I, you know, it's interesting for me. I think I did it when I was young, and then I did it now, and they sort of don't get many blokes doing it, I don't think, at my sort of age. So it was quite good for them, I think, as well. But it's interesting to see just sort of it, just personally, it gave me something that I didn't, you know, me and Shiny went into it not knowing what it was going to give for me, but it was one of those that you sort of go, it's a very good bit of kit. It's got to give something, even if it just tells us everything that we already know. That would be a win. But you know, the lads that are doing it know their stuff, and they sort of said, "Oh, they gave us one little bit that sort of helped." It didn't change what I've been working on with my bowling, but it just helps reaffirm that actually, this bit might be a slightly more impactful bit than what we were doing. So it just gives us that narrower focus, and just, you know, reaffirming what we were doing and things is great. And for the younger lads, obviously, to see, again, it doesn't mean it's always going to happen, but that injury prevention of it, if it can flag something early for somebody like Hazy, or, you know, Toby, who's a slightly younger bowler who's not fully grown and... not fully grown out.
Yeah. Oh, 8 foot tall by the end.
He's a giraffe, isn't he? But, yeah. You know, that sort of not fully matured, shall we go with, and if we can stop them from picking up a little niggle here or there, or, you know, as we all know, the worst possible of the get rid of the stressy that could have happened, if we can prevent a 6 month block out of cricket by doing it, then it's great, even if it does nothing else other than that. But again, you know, they're experts in the field, they know what they're doing. So as long as you take what they say on board, and between those, Shiny, yourself, and you go, well, that's not right for me. You know, I get what you're saying, but that won't work. But this bit that you've said, we can take that on board and we can try and we can see if it has an impact. Then that's where we're at as professional sport, because it's not one thing fits all. You know, that's where they're looking at all sorts of different people, and they will have given different things for all of us, and it's up to us as players if we want to use it.
Yeah, you've still got to have that say in it as well. It's not just the data says this, these things say this, so I will do that. Your own feel has to come into it as well.
Yeah, but you know, we're at Loughborough, we've got proper speed coaches in now trying to help, you know, the same sort of thing, that they're going to help us
sprinting
sprint and be faster at accelerating and all these other facets to running, but it's up to us how much we want to take it on board, you know, because they're, again, they've been doing a lot of work and talking to Pricey and Morsey and things like that about it. They think they can help us all out, and we can't argue with, if you know, when he says, if you ran like this, you'd be faster. I can't say, no, I wouldn't, because that's their job. That's their specialist field. So, you know, that's, you wouldn't argue with Shiny about bowling or Pete about batting. So that, you know, the Vicon, the sprint, you know, Pricey in the gym, all these different things, that's what they do. So that's why it's so individualised, and yeah, that's what's great about it. But you can pick and choose if you don't want to do it. The Vicon, Fletch didn't do the Vicon because he just got, you know, however many wickets in the county championship, averaging 10, and is where he is in his career, he doesn't need to do that. You know, he knows what he does.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at, and it's great.
Is it always easy to see that line between what you're doing maybe even before Christmas and it working out in the field? You're lifting weights in October, or you're doing a triathlon?
I must say, the fitness is sometimes hard to, like, understand. Even though, I like the gym, and I think it has a lot of benefits. And I know that getting fitter will have a lot of benefits too, but sometimes it's very hard to see that. In the middle of a run, you're just like, Pricey, I hate you right now. But I mean, everything has a benefit. I think, like, I don't think getting much fitter would help you a lot during the season. I think, especially for the bowlers, getting stronger will help with certain, like, injuries and stuff like that. And me, it'll make me a bit more springier behind the stumps. So there are benefits to certain things. And obviously we do different things in the gym. So I might be working on, you know, how high I can jump, and Ledge might be working on, like, how stable his split squat is or something like that. So it's all different. And I think we will get a lot of benefit out of those things when the season comes along.
Haven't seen you do Goatham Hills yet this winter.
I don't want to, no.
And you won't, no. See, I think that's a good point. You know, a lot of what we do is injury prevention and being out to do our job. So for the batters, it's making sure they're fit enough to be able to bat for a long period. For the bowlers, it's purely to not lose pace during the day and to be able to bowl as many days as the year as we can be available for. And that's when it, you know, it does get tedious and it does get a bit boring going for a run. But, you know, that going to Gotham Hills, it is just to, it's purely once every now and again just to kill us, just for, you know what,
just to tell you he's boss.
Yeah, just to sort of, it's more of a team, just occasionally to push that mental button that says, oh, I don't really want to do this, you know, that sort of side of it. But no, there's, I think everyone sees the benefit of it, again, because they trust the people telling us to do it.
Yeah. Well, big summer ahead, and big few weeks, I suppose, as we get there as well. But thank you for both popping in, giving us half an hour of your time this Friday morning. Cheers.
Thank you. No worries.